Hi, and welcome to the North Monroe College Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening. To stay up to date with the college family, follow us on social media at northmonroe.college. We hope you enjoy this week's message, and remember, you are loved.
We're going to be talking about worship, and I mean, you can raise your hand if you want to, but how many times have you gone to church before and just, man, like, doodled, completely thinking about your day, not even thinking about the time when you come into church, focus on what is being said, the music, you're daydreaming. I found a Bible at my parents' house, and it was my old Bible when I was a kid. And I was like, man, I want to look back and see all the notes that I took. All right, so when I looked back and opened it up, I saw a bunch of stick men hanging off of cliffs on the side, falling into a pit. And there was nothing else in there except for, like, little doodles on the sides because I was bored. I was not listening to the things that were happening in the service. I was more caught up with my imagination and my dreaming in that. So sometimes we go through the motions. We sing the songs. We hear the words. We're saying them. And then we stop and we're like, man, I got that test tomorrow. I'm too distracted. Or, man, I'm just going through a lot of things. I don't want to sing those words anymore. We listen to the message, and then we get distracted. We're like, man, what is that score on the NFL game? Or who's the next AP top 25 college football, whatever. We get so distracted because we don't take this time seriously when we come in here to services, to this worship service and then the Sunday morning service. We just go through the motions. I caught myself a couple weeks ago going through the motions. I will, if I catch myself, will be sitting outside working on something for midweek that following Wednesday on a Sunday morning when y'all are in service listening to the service. You're listening to Bill, you're going through worship, and my brain is like, I have to work. I'm out here, I'm going to stay out here, I'm going to be focused on helping the church. But in all honesty, I'm not being reverent to that time of worship with y'all. I'm going through the motions. I'm picking up the kids. We're going to eat somewhere. I heard the message from time to time in the lobby, and I was like, dang, that was a good message, Bill. That was a good quote. It's really something to take. But I leave these walls, and then I cannot remember what we even talked about because I'm going through the motions constantly. So as this closer series is closing out tonight, we are going to focus on worship and what it means for us. The times that we come in here, the times that we go in there on Sunday mornings, and how we need to be reverent, respectful, and we need to be changed every single time we come into the services. So Sunday morning experiences, worship service experiences, need to change your life. He's trying to use these services to draw closer to you. So if you come in here and you're still in your mind thinking, man, Chris is not being very... I'm not connecting well with Chris tonight. He's not being super funny. I've got something else I have to go do. And you're getting so distracted by the things around you that you're losing sight of what the worship service is really about and how you were being drawn near to. So worship, the definition of worship, the noun is a feeling of profound love and admiration. And then the verb form is to show devotion to. And then the show devotion to, it had a deity. And then it said religious reference there. And so I was looking it up, trying to figure out like the best way to describe worship. Vocabulary.com did a really good job of typing this up. The quote said, "To worship is to show a lot of love and adoration for something. Religious believers worship God or gods, and people can worship other people and things too. Worship is an extreme form of love. It's a type of love that is unquestioningly devotional. If you worship God, you love God so much that you do not question him at all. Going to church is a form of worship. So is prayer. People also use the word worship in other cases. If you love a musician or a superstar, I worship her. I worship that person. Where someone might say, man, you need to wake up and stop worshiping him." So loving someone so much, loving God so much that you do not question. It is unquestioning devotion to that thing. So our relationship with God needs to be worship. Everything we do needs to be worship to Him. Worship is not just singing. Because a lot of times when we share that we're doing music in midweek, we try to put music because we don't want to just put worship, because worship, we don't want to be too much connected with music. All right? So we're dividing it a little bit. And especially for non-Christians, they don't understand who they're worshiping in the music time, especially. So worship is not just singing, it's every part of our lives. He's more worried about our quality of worship and not our quantity of worship. Something else, it's not a point, it's just to remember. So when I was in high school and college, growing up in a Christian home, I went to everything. Lock-ins, church events. They had something for middle school. I was in high school. I probably went and helped with it. And I did all of those things because I thought I was getting way more connected to God because I was going to those things. But it was a vapor. It was vanity, as we'll talk about in a minute, of how I was going to those things and volunteering and serving and doing all of those things. But it was so empty that I wasn't drawing closer to God. My mindset, and it was my fault, my mindset going in was terrible. My motives were not there. So let's go into God's word tonight. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes. If you've been with us on Sunday mornings, we're going through Ecclesiastes right now. I'm going to jump ahead of Bill just by a chapter. And so we're going to go over a couple of verses. So we'll be in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. So Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. So as we're talking about this, you may be thinking, man, why do we do midweek service? Why do we do these corporate gatherings? What's the point? It's a great time to come in here and connect with people, see people you haven't seen all week. But why do we do worship? Why do we come together on one of y'all's only nights that you have off, and we are worshiping God in song and in teaching? So Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen is better than the offer of sacrifice fools, for they do not know that they're doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes to much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools paying what you vow. It is better for you to not vow than you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when your dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. So the first point I'm going to go into tonight is true worship ascribes worth to God and not man. True worship ascribes worth to God and not man. So we're going to be breaking down the text that we just went over. So the first part, 5:1 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. So that means take serious every moment that you have when you walk in these doors and you walk in there on Sunday mornings. Remember, quality over quantity. The quality of your worship time in here and in Sunday mornings is more valuable to God and your relationship with Him than it is for you to go day in and day out to all the ministries in town to become more connected in Christian community. It needs to be quality over quantity. So in 5:1b, it says, to draw near and listen is better than offering sacrifice to fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. So if you come in here and you're just coming in here to hear from the band, you're coming in here to hear from the message, whoever's speaking, don't let it be attached to somebody. Don't let it be attached to someone. Bill is a great communicator of God's word. He studies it. He does very, very well. Sunday morning band does awesome. Wednesday night band does awesome. I'm okay. All right? But I want y'all to know that I don't want y'all to ascribe something that is to man. We need to ascribe and give authority and respect to everything that God's doing in this time and on Sunday. So don't come in here just to say, hey, I'm going to draw near to that person. I'm going to draw near to someone that's speaking. We want you to hear scripture. That's why every time we talk here in midweek, it's going to be scripture first. Everything we sing will be from scripture. The God of the universe wants to draw near to you in this time when we're speaking scripture over you. The Lord wants to use these moments to speak to you. We read scripture because scripture is God breathed. It is God's word. It is without error. Everything we do in here and on Sunday mornings is from his word. The songs we sing have biblical backing. They have scripture references in them throughout. We want every aspect of the worship service to be God's word, trying to connect with you, for you not to be distracted by the things that are going on. So do you come in here with a mindset of, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the message and to connect with what God is trying to say to me? Or do you come in here and say, man, I'm just going to come in here, check off the box, and go home? Because we're about to get into that more. So when I think about ascribing, like giving more value to people, I think about passion. In Passion 2014 or 15, I believe, I went to Passion with the church that we're a part of in Tallahassee. I've never been to Passion. In my college career, didn't even know what it was, to be completely honest with you. We went to Passion. I'd already had the wall up of like, there's probably going to be some really big speakers here. It's going to be weird. I'm not gonna be paying attention. It's just too much flashy Christian celebrity status stuff going on for me that it bothers me. And I remember in that moment, me and Galen were sitting by each other. We'd come with our church, and Francis Chan gets on stage. If you know Francis Chan, written books, really good speaker. He gets on stage. He walks up. If you know him, he's a very emotional speaker, so he comes out. He's already crying. And so he starts with just like talking about how important God's word is. But I had already set up in my mind of, why do we celebrate him so much? He gets on stage, he puts his Bible down, and he's like crying. Most of the females in the room, because they read True Love or whatever, stood up and were like, oh my gosh, it's Francis Chan. Like, this is awesome. But that is so, if we think about that, if we ascribe more to man than we do to God, it is vanity. Because the God of the universe, the God that created us, is wanting to draw near to us. He can speak through Francis Chan. You can draw near to him in that moment. But my brain was like, why are we putting this person so much on a celebrity pedestal that we cheer for him when he comes out? So I was already in the wrong. I don't even remember what Francis Chan said after that, because I counted it out so much. I was distracted. But even your generation does this even worse now, is the movement to make pastors celebrities and to be like, hey, I'm going to share their podcast. Hey, I'm going to share this stuff on social media. Hey, I'm going to do these things. This is awesome. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow these things. I'm drawing closer to him. I know all of his books. I've read all of his books. But it's vanity. Those are things that can lead to a stronger relationship in God. But we miss the mark if we keep putting people in between our relationship with God. So don't get consumed with who's speaking. We need to be consumed with how God is going to speak to us in these moments of worship. Because we share the books we read, we do all these things, but we do not need to settle for human beings leading us when God of the universe is wanting us to draw near to him and be drawn near to you. So worship, the word is, you're giving it. You're saying that that person is worthy. You're saying that God, everything that he has done in your life, he is worthy of it all. When you worship something, you are saying is worthy of it all. So is he worth it all? Is he worth you taking two hours of your night to come here to worship, to listen, and to go back, and to be changed? Is he worth the 2 hours of being in here and saying, hey, I'm going to put everything on pause. I'm going to put everything on pause to say, hey, you're worth it. You're worth everything. Some of you come straight from practice. You come straight from work. You come straight from everything that you've been doing constantly. You probably woke up at 5 a.m. and have been doing things this entire day. And you come in here as a time for you to hear from God. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of us turning our phones off, limiting distractions so that we can hear from him. He is worthy of it all because he paid it all. So we don't need to do is turn it on autopilot. So true worship has no autopilot. True worship has no autopilot. So when you think of autopilot, you think of like Tesla driving the cars. It's the ability to go through the motions to sing the songs while you're thinking about everything else. And when we talked about the Lord's Prayer a couple weeks ago, when we said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we can recite it immediately because we've heard it so much. And oftentimes when we hear it so much, it loses its luster. It loses its shininess because we hear it so much. And you're like, okay, again. All right, again. And then we get distracted by the little things that are going on around us. So sometimes y'all come in here and maybe you say like, hey, the music feels off. Speaker isn't that interesting. I have to study for a test. As soon as he's praying, I'm going to get out of here immediately and go study. And you just shift it on and off. So you come in here, you shift it off, and you're like, okay, I'm going to be here for a minute. Don't come in here and be an autopilot. Don't go on Sunday mornings to church and be in autopilot. We sing the songs. We have a speaker that's reading from the Word of God. We do not need to shift our brains from thinking, oh, I'm bored, I'm tired, I'm all these things, I need to go, I need to be in traffic. That's something that I would say to y'all, especially on Sunday mornings, if you've noticed it. We started adding a song at the end, and then Bill will get up and be like, hey, do not leave, because if he does not say that, y'all should witness the mass exodus that happens as soon as he prays his last prayer. People are like, shoot, I gotta go to the Mexican restaurant across the street before all the other religious churches and groups get there. We don't need to think that way. We don't need to think, hey, it's an hour, I need to get out of here, it's done, I've got these things. Because in here, I will promise you, I'm going to be respectful of your time. Because I know y'all are all busy, and I know you've all got a lot of things going on. So do not shift into autopilot when you get in here. Because when you'll understand when you're in autopilot is when you leave here and you don't remember anything, and you don't remember some of the things that God may have called you to in that moment. So I've left a service before and been like, what the heck did we just go over? Because I'm so distracted. I'm so caught up in my work. I'm so caught up in life and the stresses or finances or anything that I don't put it on hold. And I need to, because he is worthy of it all. He is worthy. We do not need to put it on autopilot. So true worship is honest, is the next point. True worship is honest. So Ecclesiastes. Yes, Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, do not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So because you're talking to God, don't just say things that you do not mean. All right, so as you're praying in this moment, as you're worshiping in here, as you're singing the songs, as you're taking notes and understanding what God's word is saying, do not say words that are empty. So I think back when I was dating the girl that I dated before, Galen, and we said, I love you, probably a year in, less than a year. And I used that because relationships, emotions run high, hormones run high, we all know this stuff, and we say some things that we do not mean. It's the, like, I love you, and you're like, oh, snap, I just let that out. I can't take that back. It was empty. It hurt more to hear the, hey, we need to break up and we're not doing this anymore. Because you had let go of something. You had given up words that were empty in relationships. Sometimes you can talk about marriage when you're dating and you're like, man, I don't really have the intentions of marrying her, but it's fun to talk about. Do not say words that are empty. So music, as we are going to talk about, as we're going to sing at the end and not in the beginning, music can stir up a lot of emotion. A lot of you can be like, oh man, I'm listening to a song that I listened to when I broke up with this girl, or she broke up with me, or my dog died, you know, country music. And it brings back all these emotions. But oftentimes, we don't remember what the words even mean of the song. It's just the tune. And you're like, man, that pulls so much out of me that I cannot remember what I was doing. It stirs up so much emotion. And what I mean when I say all of this is, do you believe the words that you are saying when you sing in worship songs? Do you actually mean them? Do you actually mean them? Or do you question them? When you're singing worship songs, do you say them in autopilot? Do you say them because you know and understand what they mean, or do you question them? As we sing tonight, we're singing a song called Simple Gospel as one of them. And the words go like this. I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. Like, do you actually believe that? I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. Do you personally believe that God is your friend? That the Lord of the universe is your friend? Or do you question that? Do I actually believe that? One of the other lines says, Lord, I've been told to be ashamed. Lord, I've been told I don't measure up. Lord, I've been told I'm not good enough. But you are with me. Words are deeper than we think. The meaning of words are deeper than we think. I've been told I'm ashamed. I don't measure up. And I've been told I'm not good enough. All of the things that you're probably struggling with personally in a lot of ways. But it says, but you are here with me. You have done everything in my life. Even though I question, I've been told these things. I'm taking these things to heart and knowing that even when I'm told I'm not good enough, that you are good enough for me. You are with me. 1,000 Hallelujahs is another song that we're singing tonight. It says, praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King of heaven. Praise, for he rose, now he reigns, we will sing forever. The depth of the words. Pray to the Lord, to the Lamb that was sent to die, to the King of heaven, praise, for he rose from the dead. Now he reigns in heaven. We will sing forever. So some of you may be like, oh man, tonight after we do worship, or when we start to do worship, I'm just going to sit here and like contemplate. That is not the position that I'm trying to tell y'all to take. But I do want y'all to come in here and be like, every song is just not for us to get to a point where we transition into the speaking. It is a song that is biblically backed, that we are wanting to lead you through. And it is probably most likely lumped in with the message. So talking about worship, we wanted to sing songs that are more targeted towards that message, not to just be some random songs that we picked. And Kirsten does a really good job about picking those that line up with what the message is about. So some of you may think, hey, I don't need to sing. I need to just understand the words and look at them. And understand that when we say these things, we sing these words to him, that we need to understand and apply them to our lives and not just sing them because it's comfortable and it's what we've always done. So some of you may read the words, not sing, and then you're taking it and applying it to your lives. Some of you may sing and you're like, hey, I proclaim this. I'm saying everything that's in this song, even though I'm going through all the struggles that I'm going through, Lord, I want all of these words to be true in my life. I want all the things that you are bringing me through. You are with me. Everything that I've been told, you are still with me. So in Scripture, when it says, for God is in heaven and you are on earth, that means he's above you, all right? That is showing you that he is where he is. He is in a position of authority. So when you say things, do not say things just flippantly like, Lord, I will do whatever you say. But he's calling you to those things. So Isaiah 6 is some scripture we'll go into. Isaiah 6, 3 through 5. If anybody wants to turn there, you can. You don't have to. And Walt did not put it on the screen, so just I'm going to read it for y'all. So, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundation thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. So the writer here is saying, I know my position in all of this. I know that I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Lord, above in heaven, and the Lord of hosts. He's showing reverence in that moment. Of no matter what he says, he's saying, I know my position, and Lord, you are worthy of it all. Point number four, true worship impacts tomorrow. True worship impacts tomorrow. All right, so we're in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 6 is where we're going to keep going with this. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay it. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? In times of worship, God is calling you to do something. It may be through a song, it may be through the scripture that we read that night or on Sundays at church. God is, everything is, we pray, we ask God to show us where he wants us to be in Scripture, what he wants us to go over. And that's why we did the Closer series, is because we wanted to y'all to understand the basis of spiritual disciplines so that you can say, hey, this is the best semester, this is the best year that I've ever had with the Lord. So we talked about prayer, we talked about fasting, we've talked about Scripture, we talked about repentance, we've talked about worship. Is that right? And prayer. Yes. Obviously the big one, prayer. And so we do all of these things. We pray. We ask the Lord to show us what direction he would have us to go. So in these worship services, he may be saying, hey, you're on the fence about something. I need you to give it up, and I need you to give it all to me because I am worthy of it all, and I need you to stop riding the fence. Whether that's with your sin, whether that's with your whatever you're choosing to do and whatever he's called you to do with your life, whether he's called you into ministry vocationally or not, because we are all called into ministry, whether it is working full-time in the world or working vocationally at a church or religious organization, whether he's calling you to forgive somebody that may have done wrong to you, maybe he's calling you to serve in the church, serve in an area in town that you can make the most impact. So in those things, do not say this empty yes in here of like, yes, Lord, I know you're calling me to do that. I need to do that. Because what you're saying is, I need to vow, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. You have called me to do that through this worship service. You've called me to do those things. You've called me to go and take the next step. Changing something in my life, saying yes, and sticking to that vow. So what do your coworkers and your classmates need to see in you? They need to see that you take it seriously about coming here on Wednesdays and you coming here on Sunday mornings, and that you are taking it seriously because it is changing your life. They don't need you to invite them to a service where we're singing and we're speaking and there's just that's it. They need you to invite them to a service, share the gospel with them, right then, and they'll be interested and intrigued in what's going on in the college ministry and the church as a whole because of what's happening in your life. And you're not coming in and being like, well, we talked about worship last night and it was good and that was it. You need to leave here with more joy, more peace, less drama, more freedom. And the fact that we get to worship the Lord that sent his one and only son to die for us. So we have to come in here and listen to Scripture, worship, meditate on it, think about it, not being distracted, not going into autopilot. Because they need to see us. Because all they see is the church and what we stand against. And the world needs to see what we stand for. We stand for everybody to accept the gospel, to come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you invite them to church, don't say, hey, come join me for music and message and all that stuff. Come because it's changing you. Invite them because it's changing you and what's going on in your walk. Last point. True worship is how we say thank you to Jesus. True worship is how we say thank you to Jesus. So this is the last point. I want y'all to remember, I'm not making you question everything about how you come into worship services and how you do all of these things. I want to bring back a more authentic and reverent worship service into every setting that you go into when you're worshiping God. When you come in these doors, it needs to be different of, hey, I'm leaving everything at the door. All of my distractions are to the side. And I'm saying, hey, Lord, I'm excited for what's going to happen tonight. I'm excited for what we're going to talk about, how we're going to sing to you. Because you know, Kirsten and the band are positioned right here, does not mean you are singing these songs to them. If you need to visually just remember that Jesus is in the middle of all of this. There's a church in Tallahassee, it was a college ministry in Tallahassee, that their band sang in the back of the room. And so just think about this, empty stage, screens, and you hear them kick up, and you're like, okay, this feels different. But the reason they did that is because they didn't want to put so much focus on the band. They wanted to put so much focus on what God was doing, and they did not want the band to be distracting. They were taking that worship time very serious and almost completely different than what we're ever used to. So when you're like, hey, the band didn't sound great tonight, that band is not for you. The band is for God, and the band is for to lead you in worship. Because I would say, musically inclined, I respect everything they do up here, because I'd much rather speak than play an instrument, because I cannot play an instrument to save my life. So they're leading us in worship to Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but we are made alive in his spirit. So what you need to understand with the scripture is Christ suffered. He died for us. True worship is saying thank you for what you have done. And it says that Jesus brought us that we may be close to God. So he's saying, I'm doing all of these things to try to get you closer to my Father. So making the relationship right with him. So we should come into worship services with gratitude, with reverence on what he has done in our lives and what he will do for the people outside of these doors. And bringing in authenticity to worship. So Ecclesiastes 5:7. For when the dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one who you must fear. For when their dreams increase in the words grow many. What that means is you are talking, you're going through the motions, you're just constantly saying these things, but there's no commitment, there's no heart change, there's nothing happening. It is vanity. So when you come in here and you feel like, man, I'm so distracted, I'm so distraught with everything going on in the world, stop and pray. Pray that the Lord would readjust your heart, and saying that, hey, this time is for you to focus in on what God is doing through worshiping in music, through worshiping in teaching, so that you may go out and worship him constantly, day in and day out, and showing the life change that has happened in you. So when those words grow many, it just is empty. But God is the one you must fear, because he is the judge and the jury. He is all of it. So when you come in here and you're daydreaming and you're going through the motions, it's going to continue to be empty. And you're going to be like, man, I don't connect with the college ministry because I this. We want you to be here and we want you to be growing. We want to equip you well. So make time to be here. Do not throw it to the side and be like, I'm too busy, I'm too stressed, I've got so much going on. Some of you, your schedules are crazy. Make time to be here, to be a part. Because we only have 3 more midweeks before the semester closes. Just letting y'all know that. That's crazy. So do not throw off. Do not neglect meeting together as a college ministry. So our prayer needs to be that we come in here, we're ready to hear from God, to speak through the teaching, through the music, and through the time that we discuss questions in small group in the community. And there may be a time that sometimes we just need to come in here and reflect on what God has done in our lives and just be thankful what he has done for us, through us, and will continue to do through us. And when you come in here and you're broken, you've got a lot of distractions going on, I know the world is throwing a lot at y'all. But come in here, take it all off, and just worship. Be in here in this moment, focusing on what God has called you to do. And if there's just some things you just need to let him all know, being honest, let him all things be clear, and through him, make your requests known to him with all the things that you're going through. And remember that our mindset and our heart need to be different every time we come in here. to be ready for change in what God is doing in our lives. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to let the band come up here and lead us in worship. If you need to stand, you need to sit, you need to sing, you need to not sing. I want y'all to reflect a little bit. Because so many times we, and especially with music, I keep going back to that because I'm a music junkie. I love music. But there comes a line when the beat is too cool, lyrics are way just off the rails. And what I mean with this is, we oftentimes, we just neglect the words. We just say, oh, it's okay. We're going to focus on the beat, the music, the instrumental. And we lose the fact that, hey, that's all tied together. So worshiping, when we hear the music and we sing the words to God, it's reverence. We're showing gratitude. We're showing all of these things. It just doesn't need to be a flippant, hey, it sounds cool. We just need to do it and go on autopilot. So when I speak all this stuff to y'all tonight, it was kind of a hard wake-up call for me in a lot of ways. Because as a pastor, we can go through many different seasons of just, hey, y'all can be in the service, y'all can do all these things. And then I also come in there and get distracted. And so I'm calling y'all to do it as well as I'm doing it as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, as we talk about worship. I pray that every time we come in here, Lord, for the worship service, I pray that we would just focus on you and what you've done in our lives. And I pray that we wouldn't say anything until you have just called us to do something. Lord, I pray that as we listen to speaking, as we listen to the music and we worship you with our lives, Lord, I pray that you would change us every time we come in here. So just think about something different. Think about it and say, yes, I need to change in some of these areas. I need to be called to those things. And I pray that we wouldn't say those empty and those things would just go away. I pray that we would be committed to those. Because as your word says, we do not need to give you empty vows. We need to pay up. We need to be ready to commit to what you've called us to do, Lord. I thank you for these students as we are finishing out this Closer series. I pray that they have drawn closer to you. As we discuss all the spiritual disciplines, I pray that even when they have questions, I pray that we would be able to go over it and that they would just be able to cry out to you, draw near to you, worship you with everything that we have. Thank you for what you've done in us, and through your Son, that we get to take Wednesday night at 8 p.m. to worship you. Thank you for everything. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.